Good morning. The shiur today is in donated by Rivka Chaya Avraham with deep gratitude and appreciation to Rabbi Aaron, in memory of Rabbi Aaron M. Reinzal, Rabbi Moses Beshelov Zal, Rabbi Betzion Weil, and Rabbi Nathan Weiss for the wisdom, guidance, and patience they gave me during my journey. Sounds like these people are from Chicago. The first three are no longer amongst us. The last one, Solanki Yavar, I believe Rabbi Nathan Weiss is living. The wisdom and patience they gave me during my journey. I also wanted to add that we should have in mind for a poor Shlema, for a 13-year-old boy who was injured in Pisgatza Eid, Naor Shalev Ben Rut, the Refuah Shlema. The third chapter, the first chapter, I'm sorry, let's start this all over again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It should be a peaceful and quiet day in all of Eretz Yisrael. The first chapter of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, the laws of idolatry, that were written by the Rambam, that first chapter is an absolutely profound literary masterpiece of the story of man upon the face of this earth. And the Rambam describes precisely when the descent into idolatry began. Adam and his son Shet and Enosh, they knew that there was a one God who created the world. The Chacham says, "Bimei Enosh, this is not on your sheet. There will be a section of that first chapter that we will read, but I'm leading up to it. In the days of Enosh, the grandson of Adam, men made a terrible mistake. He wasn't aware of the mistake. Their mistake was that because of their great reverence and awe for God, they felt that the right thing would be that, just like a king who has servants, if we honor the servants, then this is giving honor to the master. So they decided that, listen, the sun, the stars, the galaxies, the heavenly bodies are all serve God, so they're also going to show respect and reverence for those servants of God. But with the passage of time, 2-3 generations later, they began to forget about God himself. They had built temples and altars to the sun, to the stars, to the galaxies, to the heavenly bodies. And generations that were born later thought that this is the real deity, but they forgot that there was a God. And here it is. Mankind is on a slippery slope, sliding down into heathen practices, and we're talking about whatever comes with it, which is a great deal of immorality and evil, and the man simply sinks into the world of idolatry. And he says, Chacham says, this is the way things went from generation to generation. And then, of course, Rambam also describes that the crooks, the charlatans, the phonies get into the picture. There were those who established themselves as prophets. There's those who said they were holy men. There were those who said that they were received the word from this deity to serve him in this way, to serve him in that way. Everybody opened up for himself a shtiebel la'avod zara.
And they most probably were raking it in, you know. We're talking about, there are always people who are going to profit. And there were those who profited by phony prophecy. And the world simply sank into the muck and the mire of idolatry. The name of God had been forgotten, except for a few individuals. Noach, Shane, Metushelach, Chanoch, these people were still aware that there is a one God who created the world. Until, the Rambam says that the world simply sunk into this, until the birth of the Mighty One. The Mighty One is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was born into a civilization, a society, a city, a community, a family that worshipped idols. And the Rambam says, and he worshipped idols with them. But his powerful, inquisitive mind had difficulty with it. And from his early youth, he was troubled, very troubled. And he pondered, he meditated, he thought. He used all of his awesome intellectual faculties until he arrived at the decision that the whole world is making a mistake. There's a one God who created this whole world. That's how it all works. That was his great discovery. Avraham Avinu's great discovery. But he discovered many things after that. What he discovered was that he has a responsibility to share the knowledge that he has to share it with the rest of the world. And if he knew that this was going to cause a revolution, it was going to make many enemies for him. Nobody likes the revolutionary. Nobody likes the person who's going to shake up the very foundations of society. We like things the way they are. We don't want people coming and changing that which we have been doing for generations. Chodosh Osir, something new. Don't tell us this stuff. We have our idols and we've been quite happy serving them. So here he is, he's the big revolutionary. And he's going to turn the world over. I just like to read, whenever we talk about Avraham Avinu, there's a history book, a history of the Jews, written by a non-Jew by the name of Paul Johnson. At the end of the book, it's a fat book, thick book, and there's an epilogue. Read one paragraph. In his Antiquities of the Jews, Josephus, that was one of Josephus's history books, Antiquities of the Jews, Josephus describes Avraham as a man of great sagacity, an intellectual, who had higher notions of virtue than others of his time. Avraham therefore, determined to change completely the views which all then had about God. He was going to change the whole world. So Paul Johnson goes on to write, one way of summing up 4,000 years of Jewish history is to ask ourselves, what would have happened to the human race if Abraham had not been a man of great intellectual power? Or if he had stayed in Ur Kasdim and kept his higher notions to himself? What would the world be like if no Jewish people had come into being? Certainly, the world without the Jews would have been a radically different place. Humanity might eventually have stumbled upon all the Jewish insights, but we cannot be sure. We cannot be sure. all the great conceptual discoveries of the intellect seem obvious and inescapable once they had been revealed. But it requires a special genius to formulate them for the first time. The Jews had this gift. And according to the Rambam, really, the gift was the gift that Avraham Avinu had. His massive intellect, towering over everybody in his time, and most probably for all times. To the Jews, we owe the idea of equality before the law, both divine and human, of the sanctity of life and the dignity of the human person. We're not killers. And a large part of the world around us are killers. The dignity and the sanctity of human life. We taught that to mankind. Of the individual conscience and so of personal redemption, of the collective conscience and of social responsibility, we have to be concerned for one another. Of peace as an abstract ideal and love as the foundation of justice. Don't anybody tell us about peace. We gave the idea of peace to the whole world. Many other ideas which constitute the basic moral furniture of the human mind. Without the Jews, it might have been a much emptier place. The world, that is. And where there are no Jews, it is pretty empty. And it's getting emptier. Let's take a look at the words of the Rambam. Number one. The Rambam had been describing how the world kept going and turning over for 18 generations. From the time of Enosh until Avraham, there were 10 generations from Adam till Noah, 10 generations from Noah till Avraham, 18 generations. We're talking 1,000, 2,000 years. The world was, without the knowledge of God, was godless. Until the pillar of the world was born. I'm just going to read and translate the Rambam. It's such a beautiful and powerful Rambam. When this mighty one was weaned, he's 2-3 years old, his mind began to move in all sorts of directions. He's young. He began to think day and night, for and he was wondering. There's a whole universe moving. Who moves it? How does it move? How did it get here? Where's it from? He wondered, how does everything move constantly? And there's nobody moving it? How's it going round and round endlessly? It's not turning itself. He didn't have a teacher. He had no one who told him anything. He's completely on his own with his mind, with his sagacity, with his intellect. El Mushka, you know where he was? He was submerged, or fazumptum fazumpin. You don't have to know what the words mean. Just listening to the sound, you can tell it. There he is, in the muck and the mire of Ur Kasdan, being Otev in the Zohar HaTipshim, surrounded by idolaters, fools, V'Ovev Imod, his father and his mother, Cholhom, Otev in the Zohar, and all the people worship idols, V'Hu Oved Imod, and he's serving with them, V'Libo Mishotet, Umevim, but his heart is, he's not in it, his heart is moving, his mind is thinking,
עד שהשיג דרך האמת, until he achieved the way of truth, והבין קו הצדק מתבונתו הנכונה, he knew what is right and what is just, with his correct ability to understand. ויודע, he knew, he figured it out, שיש שם האחד, there's one God, והוא מנהיג הגלגל, and he's the one who moves everything on the face of the earth, והוא בורא הכל, he created everything, ואין בכל הנמצא או ההר חוץ ממנו, in all of existence, there is no God aside from him. וידע, אני נו, שכל העולם טועים, the whole world is making a mistake. ודבר שגורם להם לטעות זו, he also figured out what caused the error, going back all of those centuries earlier. שעובדים את הכוכבים, why they're serving the stars as aksudos and forms, and she'ova the emes midata, what it was that brought them to have lost touch with the truth. Uben arbon shona hikar avram et poram, when he was 40 years old, he arrived at the recognition. He knew his creator. Kivin shehikar, once he recognized the yoda, and he knew, hikhil hashiv tshuvot, he began to engage the people of his time in debate. Al b'nei Ur Kasdim, he started with the people of Ur Kasdim. He started questioning. He started raising all sorts of problems. He started shaking up the society. No society likes to be shook up. The lateral did he, Miami. And he, in a sense, he's discussing, well, what is the real truth, the Loma. And he told them straight out, "Sheinzu derech ha'emet shatem holkim ba," the way in which you're going is not the way of truth. The Shiver Atzlamim. And he shattered the idols. Who didn't learn in Gan the story of Avram, whose parents had an idol store, and they went out one day and they left little Avram idol sitting. and when his parents were out, you understand, he went ahead and he chopped up all the idols, and he took the axe and he put it in the hand of the biggest idol who was still standing there. And as the matter says, we all learn this, when his parents came home, they said, "Oy, Rabbeinu Shalom." No, they didn't say that. What happened to all of the idols? And Avram said, well, the big one, you see, he chopped them all up. And his parents said, "What are you talking about? They can't do anything, they're just idols." I imagine at some point he could have said, "George Washington, like, I cannot tell a lie. I chopped up the idols." And he told his parents, "Listen to what you're saying. You're telling me that they're nothing. They can't do anything. And you worship them." So now that medrash is a beautiful medrash. However, the Rambam here, in two words, what he's really telling us is, no such story ever happened. His parents didn't have the local idol makolet. They didn't leave Avramala in charge of the idols. He didn't chop anything up. He didn't chop anything. What the Medrash is saying in this beautiful story is, the mighty mind of Avram shattered the idols of his time. That's why the Rambam writes these two words, the Shiver Atzlamim. It doesn't mean that he went around chopping up idols. Avram doesn't touch anything that belongs to anybody else. What he did was intellectually, he shattered the idea of idolatry. The Shiver Atzlamim, v'hitchil lehodir al ha'am, she'ein roi lavod el lehei ha'olam, and he started telling the people they should not serve anyone aside from the God of the world. The lo ra'ui l'hishtachalot, and to him we should bow down, ul'hakriv ul'naseich, and to bring sacrifices and libations. כדי שיכירו כל הברואים הבויים. He wanted all creatures to know what the truth is. V'roi la'avei u'shaveh, and he says, what the right thing that you should do is to destroy and shatter all the forms that you have, the idols, k'dei sholom yitu behem kolom, that nobody should make a mistake and think that this is anything. Anyway, it says two lines further, when he began to emerge strong with his proof, people began to get the idea that this Avram, the revolutionary, he's saying something that makes sense. That means at that point already, Avram is becoming a danger for the powers that be. You can't shake up society. When he became more powerful than them with his intellectual might, the king wanted to kill him. The Nasal of Ness, a miracle happened to him. The Yotzal Choron, and he left to Murkazim. The Choron. He began to call out in a great voice to the whole world, to let them know, there is one God for the whole world, the Lora Ulavod, and he is the one who should be served. For he mahalech the kodei umikabeitz ha'om me'ir le'ir me'am lochem lo'morcha. And he went and he called and he announced and he gathered the peoples together from one city to the next, from one kingdom to the next. Achi yel eretz Canaan, until he arrived in the land of Canaan. Vuhu kodei. And he still keeps sending out the message at every opportunity. Shenama, as it says when he came into Canaan, he called out there in the name of God, the God of eternity. This is one little section of this amazing first chapter in which he describes the brilliance, the greatness of Avraham. The Rambam goes on to describe that there were those who joined him, and they were called the Talmidim, the students of Avram and Sarah. He made a veritable revolution in the whole world, a revolution ad hayom hazeh, until today. Most of the world is believes in the one God, never what they've done to this poor one God. Rachmanis, in the name of that one God, they kill, they murder, they maim. Shomu shamayim. I have one question. Avraham Avinu is absolutely brilliant. He's a genius. He has a power of abstract thinking second to none. And he discovered God. As Paul Johnson said, we don't know if anybody else would have done it. Maybe mankind at some point, if it wouldn't have destroyed itself, would end up perchance figuring out something like this, but highly, highly unlikely. Unlikely. So then, number two, I don't understand. The famous Mishnah. Asor Nisyonot. Nasser Avraham Avinu Olam HaShalom. Abraham, our father, was tested with 10 trials. V'amad b'kulam, and he withstood all of them. He underwent 10 tests. God tested him 10 times. Lahodia, in order to let us know, kamoch hiboso sh'avchom avinu olav ha'shalom. How deep was our father Abraham's love of God. A man of such brilliance and such genius who achieves the knowledge of God on his own and brings the message to the whole world has to undergo 10 tests. Yitzchak doesn't. have to undergo any tests.
Yaakov
doesn't undergo any tests. Why in heaven's name is Avram the one who undergoes 10 tests? It's a good Akasha. It's a good question. The rest of the shiur, and maybe we'll finish it today, and maybe not. We still have a few weeks to talk about Avraham Avinu. The rest of the shiur is going to be the answer to this one question. Why does he have to be tested? So it all begins with a pretty simple statement. There are basically two ways to achieve a knowledge of God. How do we know God? One is emunah, faith. My tata told me, and my zayda told him. Am I in there?
Yeah.
Can you see me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Faith, emunah. There's another way to achieve the knowledge of God. By intellectual inquiry, I think, I ponder, I meditate. I discover him through history, through nature, through the intricacies of the human body. I mean, there's so many things you can see in the world that can lead one to an understanding of God, an intellectual knowledge of God. Now, what you have to know is the following. Faith and intellect, or faith and reason, if you want to, you can call it religion and science. Each one have advantages and disadvantages. The advantage of faith, emunah, ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima, I believe with perfect faith that there is one God. The great advantage of faith is it's tried, it's tested, it's proven. 3,500, 4,000 years of Jews since Avraham Avinu, and it has remained strong and powerful by the Jewish people. Untold number of Jews went to their deaths with the word Shema Yisrael on their lips. Untold number of Jews died because of that belief. It's powerful. It's strong. It has lasted more than any other idea that we know on the face of this earth. If one would start to list the number of ideas that existed on the face of this earth, how long they lasted, how long they lasted, and they disappeared, understand? Disappeared from the face of the earth. God. There are many others that are going to be gone soon. A lot will be gone soon. Communism had its 70 years, you understand? 70 years. World power in dread. Trying to come back a little bit, but communism will never go. It's gone. And so many other isms have gone the way of all flesh. Finish. But Judaism is still, emunah is still around. Emunah is solid, rooted, tried, tested, proven, enduring throughout all of time. But then again, on the other hand, faith, maybe it's not that exciting. You don't get up in the morning and say, I have faith. On the other hand, intellect, what one achieves intellectually, he thinks, and he makes a discovery. That's very exciting. And each and every one of us can make that discovery in nature, in history, in events. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. Ah, I see the Rebbe Shlomo. I feel his presence. It can even be intoxicating. But then again, we have to take a few minutes, we have to take a good look at the at the weaknesses of the intellect. Brilliant minds, great intellectuals, but remember, there's a big difference between intellect and faith. Faith does not begin with a question. My Tata told me, and my Zaida told him. Intellectual inquiry, studying about God, begins with, for all intents and purposes, a question. Is there a God? Does God exist? Does he have something to say to man? So you begin with a question. All right? That's already a weakness. The man of faith does not begin with a question. Everything is clear to him. There are no doubts. It's a fundamental fact. That's it. The man of intellect questions. Questions. And then he arrives at a conclusion. Now, what does that mean? What happened in that process? Maybe he even sat down and he wrote a list for God, against God. Now, I have all of these reasons that there is a God. Then I have other possibilities that there's no God. And then you take both sides together, and lo and behold, there are more reasons that there is a God than that there isn't a God. And maybe the reasons or what indicates that there is a God may be of weightier intellectual strength than the other side. So you have the two sides, but one is stronger than the other. It weighs the other down. So you know what I do? I come to a conclusion, God exists. But wait a minute. The person who arrives at the knowledge of God by intellect has admitted that there's another side. There are other possibilities. He began with a question. What guarantee is there that in 5, 10, or 15 years from now, he will become aware of something that he hadn't thought about earlier? And all of a sudden, he has to open the question all over again. And maybe now the sides are not as balanced in the same way as they've been before. Science or intellect is always tentative. That means an intellectual decision is something that the only certainty about it is at this minute, that's what it looks like. There's no guarantee that it's going to look like that in 10 years from now or 100 years from now. It may all be opened up again, and you're going to start from the very beginning. That's the human intellect. In matters that are abstract, the human intellect can do nothing better than make a choice. Listen carefully. When the human intellect is dealing with things that can be proven mathematically, scientifically, in a test tube, I can see it before my very eyes. There, the men of intellect, the men of science, can come up with a definitive answer. A mathematical formula doesn't lie. That's it. What I see here, that's it, that's the fact. But when the intellect and the mind begins to deal with things that are abstract, like God, they can never come to a definite decision. They can only make a choice between two possibilities. But they can never come to a point of absolute certainty. It's definite. This is the way it is. That's a serious, serious weakness. But there may be another serious weakness to intellect. Oh, yeah, this is a very, very serious one. The God who is the result of the discovery of my mind is the kind of God that I will never be able to prostrate myself before him. Ribbono shel Olam, I discovered you. You're the prophet of my life. Anyone who has discovered anything has a feeling of superiority to that which he has discovered. Give me a note. Listen, if not for my brilliance, you wouldn't exist. Which means that while one may intellectually achieve a knowledge of God, but that God is not a God who one will be able to serve and worship with all of his heart, with all of his mind. Won't be able to do it. Impossible. It's not in the nature of things. They quote always about the Pascal, who said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not the God of the philosophers. You can't trust the God of the philosophers. We're beginning to come to the point. Avraham Avinu is the man of giant intellect, unparalleled and unmatched. He discovered God. Does he worship God? Can he prostrate himself before this God whom he created? My wife, I found you. You know what has to happen? The man of intellect must be turned into the man of faith. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Shmoneh Esrei. The beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei is Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, our God and the God of our fathers. Avraham Avinu can say Elokai, my God, but he cannot say the God of my fathers. His father was an idolater. Avraham has intellectual knowledge. He's a genius, unparalleled, unmatched. But he doesn't have faith. How is Avraham Avinu going to become the great man of faith? You can cause your children to inherit faith, but not intellect. How is he going to become a man of faith? His father didn't teach him anything. So you know what's going to happen? Avraham is going to undergo 10 tests. The bottom line, you know what is the thread that combines all of the 10 tests? They're illogical. They're mad. Take your one and only son whom God has promised will be your future and bring him as a sacrifice. If Avraham is only a man of intellect, rational man, you know what he would have to say? I will not do it. The first one, Lech lecha me'aretzecha me'melachetcha me'beit avicha, God tells Avraham, leave your home, your birthplace, go to a land that I'm going to show you. What? How irrational and illogical it is. What did Avraham Avinu discover with his brilliance? The God of the whole universe. You're going to tell me that this God who created the whole universe, there's one little piece of land, geography, a very small one, on the face of this earth where the Ribbono shel Olam is more than he is anyplace else? I found him all over the universe. God, tell me, shtick, kedushas haaretz, eretz yisrael, the shchinah. Don't give me no stories. Intellectually, it's mad. And then Ribbono shel Olam, what do you want? Do you see what's happening in here in Ur Kasdim? In Ur Kasdim, we have tens of thousands who are now following the words of God. They're listening. I should give this all up and go off someplace to some unknown country? It's not logical, Galatia. Come on. Get with it. Doesn't make any sense. If Avram is only a man of intellect and is incapable of growing into a man of faith, we have to reject it. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Come on, doesn't make any sense. But you know what happens? Avram Avinu is able to do something that nobody ever did before him. The great man of intellect is going to become the great lonely man of faith. That's an awesome transition, because he has reached the point where he is serving not his intellect, his genius, his mind, but he has taken the giant step further of realizing that the one to serve is the God in heaven and earth. And you know what he will do? He will make the greatest sacrifice of all. The man of intellect is going to sacrifice his intellect and his mind on the altar of the Ben Yishlael. No greater sacrifice than that. And Avram is going to come. This is Avram Avinu. What I'm telling you now, you'll see that this is going to become a thing. In number three, on the second side, the Rambam's great work, the one that we've been quoting from till now, is the Yad HaChazaka, the 14 great books that encompass all of Jewish law. There's an introduction. He has an introduction to the great work, the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. The introduction is called the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Sefer of Mitzvot, where the Rambam establishes the principles by which he decides what is considered a mitzvah, and he goes on to list the 613 commandments. Number 3a, this is from the Sefer HaMitzvot, HaMitzvah Rishona, Hi Hatzivu Shem Tzaveinu. Listen to the next word, Hu Hatzivu Shem Tzaveinu, the command that we commanded, L'hamin Be'elohut, to believe in God. That is Shenamin, that we should believe that there's an Elo, a Sibo, a cause for the whole world. And he is the one, everything moves because of him. He gives life to everything on the face of this earth. Now wait a minute. Go to 3b, the next one. This is the opening, the first halacha in the Rambam. Yesod ha-yesodos, the foundation of all foundations. Va'amud ha-chochma, and the pillar of all wisdom. Leida she-yesham motzu rishon, to know that there is a first cause. Wait a minute, did the Rambam forget what he just wrote when he listed mitzvah number one? He described mitzvah number one as the mitzvah lahamin, to believe. Here, in the first halach, it says mitzvah leida, to know. Which is it? Is the Rambam contradicting himself? No, he's not contradicting himself. What the Rambam is saying is, there's a mitzvah to believe. And that mitzvah to believe includes another mitzvah, that with our intellect, being believers is not enough. We have a responsibility to see in history, in nature, in the world around us, within ourselves, to also intellectually see God. Two parts of the same mitzvah. In other words, it means that Torah recognizes the weaknesses of faith and the weaknesses of intellect and the strengths of each one. And you know what the halach is? We need both. There are two legs upon which the knowledge of God stands. On emuna, faith. My Zayna told me. My father told me. And I've tried to find him in my own life's experience. Number 4A is, of course, one of the psukim that is so beloved to me, and it's for that reason that 30 years ago when I built the shul in Har Nof, and we had a woman from Nahariya who made the parochet, beautiful parochet. On the parochet it says the pasuk from the Shira, Zekeli v'amdehu, this is my God and I will exalt him, Elokei avi v'adonimenu, the God of my father, and I will raise and uplift him. Ah, that's number 4. Zekeli v'amdehu l'kevarimenu, this is my God and I will beautify him, the God of my father, and I will exalt him. Then the Rashi. Oy, the Rashi. Zekeli, dechvodo nikla aleihem. This is at the Yamsuf. He revealed himself to them in his glory. They were able to point with their finger. Ze always means, what do we do on the night of Pesach? Matzazuk shon ro'ochlem, morozer shon ro'ochlem. Jews at the sea were able to see, S-E-E, God. It was an awesome experience. They saw him and they were able to point, Zekeli, this is my God. A slave woman at the sea saw more than the prophet saw. They saw the divine presence. Translators of meaning Lashon Naveh, abode. I will make a Naveh. You know, we have a lot of places in the country that are called Naveh. Naveh Ilam, Naveh this, Naveh that. Zekeli, this is my God and I will make a home for him. As in the phrase Naveh Shanam, a tranquil abode. Or as the word Naveh Tzon, an abode for flocks. Dover Achar, Rashi brings a second pshat. There are three pshatim. The third is going to be the one that I'm going for, but the other two are so beautiful that we have to say it. Dover Achar, Anveihu comes from the word noi, beautify. Lishon noi, an expression of beauty. Asaper noyoi v'shikol v'oyelam, I will speak of his beauty and praise to all who live in the world. Kedona, ma'dodeich midod. Ah, how is your beloved in Shir Hashirim? The Dod is God. And the Rayo, the girl, that's the Jewish people. Dod Yitzach V'Adom Kol Inyan, where Israel describes the beauty of God. Now we come where it's underlined. Elokei Ovi Huzeh. This God that I see right now is the God of my father. Now the big question is, if they see him, they see him. All of Israel sees more than any of the prophets saw. Why do they have to add, Elokei Avi, the God of my father? So Rashi says, great Rashi, great. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha, I am not the source of this sanctity. God didn't begin with me here at the Red Sea. Elo muzeket v'omedet li hakedusha, rather the sanctity stands established for me. Ve'elekuto alai, and his godliness over me, mi'yemei avotai, from the days of my fathers. From the days of my fathers. You know what Zekeli is? A knowledge, an intellectual, or an experiencing of God, but that's not enough. Elokei Avi is faith. Now, 4B. I have to tell you the story. Of several past. It was about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I decided to clean off my desk. I can't even remember when it was. And then this was in the middle 90s, and I found a on my desk. Not this, so you can find on my desk. I found on my desk a calendar from 1986. So, a calendar from 1986 was in the middle of the 90s. It may have been 1996, 10 years later. So I took the calendar, threw it into the garbage can. I had second thoughts. Nobody was looking. I bent down. I took it out of the garbage can. And I opened it up. And it's one of these calendars that has aphorisms, gute Werte, down at the bottom of the page, every page. And I opened up to a page. And there I see it. I knew why I took it out of the garbage. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. Let that get into your kishkot. You gotta let this go. When we were children in school, we were taught seeing is believing. Along comes this Canadian god, Lagoy, Marshall McLuhan, and he says, nay, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. We see the world through what we believe. Two people, 10 people, can see the same event. And they saw something completely different. A terrorist being shot by Abbas Yimach Shemo is a young boy being executed. Depends what you see. Oh, that footage of he's holding an olive leaf in his hand. Somebody else sees a deadly knife. You see what you believe. I remember when I read that, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. I was so excited. And I said, can't be that this guy had such seichel. Where did this guy get such seichel? Our rabbis didn't say that. I remember it was the month of Elul. And I came to Shul, and at the very end of davening, the Rebbe Shul took me through the whole davening, at the very end of davening, we say L'Dovid Hashem Ori, and at the very end of L'Dovid, Lulei Ha'amanti Lirot B'Tov Hashem Be'eretz Chaim. Lulei Ha'amanti, if I wouldn't have believed it, I wouldn't have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, in Eretz Yisrael. If you believe that it's all God's work, you see its beauty and you see its greatness. If you think that the Eretz Yisrael says, bunch of chalainim, chalei Shabbos, mizruchnekis, then you're not going to see any beauty here. I told you that story. When about a year ago, I came to the doctor's office here in the center of town. You know, you go to the doctor's office to get well. So here I come to the doctor's office. Nothing was serious, everything's okay. Just a checkup, I'm fine. So here it is. It was an afternoon in Yerushalayim. Now, I don't know if you're, most probably everybody's aware, to get out of Har Nof for the afternoon, whether it's Beit HaTfus or Kamp Yishon, it's bumper to bumper. Pashut and Yishon can go out until you get out of Har Nof. You understand? And then even sometimes in the middle of town, you just, the traffic is unbelievable. And we're finally huffing and puffing, I made it to the doctor's office. And then a few minutes later, somebody else that I know from Har Nof comes in, a wonderful, lovely fellow, lovely fellow. So I tell him, you know, I was driving here today, bumper to bumper, and the city's jammed. And David HaMelech must have been looking down at his city and trailing, you understand? Take a look. So this wonderful fellow
looks at me and says, you have to, I don't know if I can put on the sour face. He sees other things too. In other words, this was supposed to be the expected frumer response. I don't know, he sees Achilles Trefus, he sees Achilles Shabbos, he sees this, he sees that. So I told him, very uncharacteristic for me, I told him, you're wrong. And I told him, I never tell people you're wrong. But here I know you're wrong, because David HaMelech himself said, Ure'e betuv Yerushalayim, see the good of Yerushalayim. You know what? David HaMelech saw what I saw in the streets. His Yerushalayim overflowing with people. He didn't see what you think he saw. Thought. You know what it means? What goes on over here, that's what you see. If he's walking around with his nose to the ground all the time, like, ah, they're chilainim, and the worst, of course, are there's a chisten, you understand this and that, but then you have a perverted picture of what's going on. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. The foundation of halacha is that Torah is based on two pillars, and the two of them together make up the totality of our belief in God. Not intellectual knowledge of God alone, but intellectual knowledge as a buttress to faith. And not faith alone, because we have a responsibility to see God in our own experiences. Number five, we may yet finish this year. We may yet. Great Rambam, Ketzar Mekablin Gedei HaTzedek. How do we receive righteous converts? Person comes to convert. Guy comes to convert before Ben Din. Ketzar Mekablin Gedei HaTzedek. So the Rambam says, when a person is going to come from amongst the nations in order to convert, and they investigate and they find that there's no ulterior motive, it's not because he wants to marry a Jewish woman. So we say to him, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do this? Yeah, for your day, I don't know. She Yisrael bezman hazeh devuyim udechufim umesuchofin umetorofin v'yisurim boyalim. You don't have to know how to translate each one of those words. What we tell them is, don't you know that Jews are persecuted? They are pursued. They suffer. They are hated. They are despised. They are hunted. What do you want to become? What do you want to become part of these people? Imam Arafi says on the Yodea, I know how Israel suffers in the world. Ve'eni kedai, I'm unworthy to be part of that people. Mekablin otol miyad, he is immediately accepted as a ger. I want to ask one question on this compound. What happens if a ger is going to say the following? I hate Jews. But I think Torah, greatest thing that was ever written. I'm going to live someplace out in my Fashlurin and Midwest Glacier town. But I'm going to keep all the mitzvahs. I'm going to have Gwab Kosher meat, Ma'atlin, with Chol of Yisrael, separate of course, flown in every day from New York. I'm going to put on Rashi and Rabbein Tam's tefillin. You just watch me. I'm going to be the best Jew that you can be. But I don't want to have anything to do with the miserable Jews. What's wrong with that? So the Rambam is saying no. He has to understand that he becomes part of the Jewish people, part of the history of the Jewish people. Which means just as they have a past that's his past, their present is his present, and therefore their future will be his future. Why?
You know why? Because what brings the gear? What brings this guy to want to convert? An intellectual decision is made. That's not enough. He has to be able to say, not only Elokeinu, he has to say, Elokei Avoteinu, the God of our fathers. How's he going to do that? But if he comes part of the history of the Jewish people, then their past is his past. As the Rambam Paskin for Avadia Gerd Sedek in his time, you can say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu. That's why Avraham Avinu must undergo the 10 tests. Because by virtue of the 10 tests, what happens is Avraham Avinu finds out the truth that he is no longer subservient to his intellect, but from the man of intellect, the man of science, he has become the man of faith. He couldn't say Elokei Avoteinu, so he had to develop faith on his own. Yitzchak will have no problem. Yitzchak doesn't have to be tested. Yitzchak is going to be able to say clearly, Elokeinu, Elokeinu Avoteinu, as all of us have said throughout all time, Ad Hayomos attitude today. The Ger can only say Elokeinu. How will he say Elokeinu Avoteinu? How does he have faith? He has faith, you know why? Because he's not only going to fulfill Torah, but he is going to become an integral part of a faith community. Jewish history is his history. Quickly, Rambam number 6. The Rambam here is talking about a Ben Noach who keeps the 7 Noahide mitzvahs. Watch, he says it so clearly. Kohen kabel sheva mitzvahs. Whoever accepts upon himself the 7 mitzvahs, the nizhar la'asotam, and he's careful to do them. Hadeze mechasidei umos ha'olam. The guy who keeps the 7 mitzvahs is considered one of the pious of the nations of the world. V'yesh to chelek lo'olam avodi, as a share in the world to come. For who? Listen. A condition, there's one condition. Sheyikabel otam v'yasotam, he accepts the 7 mitzvahs and does them, mipnei she'tzivor v'hen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah, because God commanded so in Torah, and he let us know this through Moshe Rabbeinu. Behold, the only one today, Moshe Rabbeinu, shebnei Noach mikodim nitzvahu ben. In Torah it says that the sons of Noach were commanded to keep those 7 mitzvahs. Aval im asor mipnei hecha hadar, but if he does the 7 mitzvahs because of an intellectual decision, he's not one of the pious in the world. Ein zeh ger tosho ve'eino mechsidre umasolom. The next word is open to a lot of discussion. V'lo mechachmehem, not even the wise men. What's the Rambam saying over here? If one keeps even the 7 Noahide mitzvahs because of Hechra Hadas, his intellectual decision, we don't trust intellect. Intellect is not enough. It is not enough. But he has to keep the 7 Noahide mitzvahs because he believes that God told this to Moshe Rabbeinu and that God had commanded the sons of Noah to keep these mitzvahs. So here it is. We did it. We did it. We started with a question. Why does Avraham, the great intellect, a one-time mind on the face of this earth, who changed the very face of all of mankind for 4,000 years, why does he have to undergo 10 tests? Because he has to go through the process of becoming from the man of intellect, he becomes the great, lonely man of faith. And we are proud to say, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham Avinu.